Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hello?
Hey, Jason. It's Jonathan again. Are we good?
We're good.
All right, let me get it. He's actually on the other line. Hold on. Jason, meet Daryl Hall.
Hello.
Oh, this is a pleasure, Daryl.
Well, thank you.
Hi, Daryl.
Hi.
Okay, I've got a little latency here. I'll try to compensate. Welcome to Cobras and Fire, a very special emergency edition. I don't know, just a bonus, something like that. Is it really an emergency, LC?
It is.
I like to add some, it reminds me of that thing that pissed off Mark Torian that I said, bullshit or bravado. And I think you and I are pretty much both. So, yeah, I like to put a sense of urgency to things when there is no need.
It's a good thing we got to get this episode out immediately, if not sooner.
This is pretty big, man.
It is.
Well, anyway, so yeah, it's a pretty big deal, man. We got Daryl Hall from Hall & Oates on the show. I was able to land an interview with him, oddly enough, by them reaching out to me. I have no idea how I ended up on their radar. I'll share with the listeners stuff I've told you that led up to this. This is the third time, two Hall & Oates tours, one that got canceled from the pandemic, then when it rebooted, and now Daryl is doing a solo tour. He did a leg in the summer, now he's doing a leg here in the fall. But all three times I had somebody, the same person, a publicist I've never worked with, reach out to me about pre-show coverage. And all three times I said, any chance I can get an interview? And all three times I got ghosted. I shared that story with you. And then a couple days later, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to follow up on my last one. And sure enough, she replied right away. It took about 2 weeks to get it lined up. And motherfuck, man, I got a chance to talk to Daryl Hall.
Yeah, this is a huge thing. I mean, come on, this is one of your first bands you listened to back with, you speak to that. Say it.
Yeah, I touch on it in the interview. I share the anecdote with him right away. But so Kiss was obviously my gateway. And looking how things turned out, I obviously gravitated toward music pretty naturally. I don't think a lot of 9-year-olds were in the Hall & Oates shows, back when they were during that Voices, Private Eyes, H2O run. But they were the second band, is what I'm trying to get at. I remember seeing them on daytime TV. They played You Make My Dreams. Now, this is back before you could go to the internet, kids. And I had no idea when that song was going to be played again. This was the first time a song that wasn't from Kiss connected with me. I immediately went to a quiet space and just so I could replay that chorus in my head over and over again so I wouldn't forget it for fear that I may never know that song and that joy again. It was just such a natural reaction. But, then, of course, Dad, can I get a $5 to get the Hall & Oates record was not too far down the road, so... Until Motley Crue, Rat, that whole kind of when things started, the dominoes really started to tip in the 80s there, it was Kiss and Hall & Oates. Those are the only two things I cared about as far as music.
Yeah. And people should know, too, that that the during the formation and finalizing of the of our show's name, you know, Cobras and Fire, you required us to have an ampersand because of your Hall and Oates fame, right? You said no, it's not Cobras and Fire, it's the ampersand like they had.
Well, like I was saying just a minute ago, bullshit and bravado is a lot of what we bring to the table here, but
yes,
yeah, absolutely, you're 100% spot on.
So yeah, I mean, I
that's gonna I be in the it. Biopic on us.
It should. That's right. Exactly. Just so you know, it wasn't, like the formation of all band names. That was in the background. But no.
By the way, the early casting came in. The guy who played Frodo is going to be playing you. And I'm going to get Daniel Radcliffe gets me. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I was hoping I would get, what's his little fat friend? The movie, Frodo's buddy.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong
Sam.
Guy.
No, his name's Sam. Okay. His name is Sam. Okay. He's like, Sam, I love you, Sam. Okay, all right. We're going sideways here. Who knew that we put Lord of the Rings in the intro here? Yeah. But yeah, can I give my little background of
Hall & Oates? Yeah, of course. That's why I got you here, buddy.
Okay, so the first song I ever heard, I think, was probably Maneater, because of our vast difference in age. That's when that one hit for me. But when I heard it the first time, I was like, oh, that's a catchy ass song. But then when the DJ said it, I'm like, what kind of name for a band is Hall of Oates? And I just actually, man, no joke, I imagined just like a hall full of oats. I'm like, that's a stupid name. And then
even
after
back
that,
then you were critical of band names. Like
I was like, Hall of Oates. What's going on? It's my, I don't even like that breakfast.
We're both cutting edge ahead of our times.
Yeah, and then when they said the real name, Hall and Oates, I'm like, that's even worse. They're talking about a Hall and some Oates. I didn't know it was their last name and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was confusing too. And then I'm thinking, you know, then when I learned it was their band's name, I'm like, Hall is fine. Daryl Hall, get it. John Oates, if your last name is fucking Oates, it's not like it's Nicky Oates. I mean, people know that that's his real name. He changed it to Six. You don't go with Oates. I'm just saying, like that for a stage name.
I think it worked out because I think it fits Oates. I'm going to be just put all my cards on the table. I didn't bring it up in here. I don't like
things.
Oates. Never have. I think he's got a weird image, and his singing is pretty lame. I don't know. And it turns out Daryl feels the same way too. But
well, everything fits Oates because small is always in stock. But anyway,
you know, John Oates can get a shirt at the Wasp show.
That's right. But another thing I'll just say for Oates is, why is it oatmeal? Why is it oatmeal? This is the only food I can think of that has meal at the end of it. You don't call it gruel meal. You don't call it cereal meal.
That's a hot take.
I'm just saying right now, it should be just called Oates.
I think some people might actually call it Oates.
Not on the can. It says oatmeal. Fucking ridiculous. Too many words. Stick with
Daryl would like to make it clear that the band name was actually Daryl Hall and John Oates. So.
Oh, really? Then they shortened it up because everything is too long.
He's claiming everybody else just did that automatically.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's not in the albums? It doesn't say Hall and Oates in the albums?
You know, my memory is that it is, but I'm just pointing it out there. Putting it out there. There's some chippiness between those two, and you'll hear it in the interview, but... Well, not between them, but you get one side of it anyway.
But anyway, but on that end, I became more familiar with Daryl Hall himself with, you know, Daryl's House and all that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, dude. And watching a couple of those episodes. And so that's kind of I am vastly different is my point with my fandom. But I do respect him and think he's a pretty cool dude, like just interesting guy in general besides his music.
I do think listening back, and it's been a while since I've done an interview, and maybe I'll touch on that here in a second, but I left a lot on the table as far as follow-up questions. I kind of wish, in hindsight, that kind of thing. It's still kind of a fun chat, but one thing that I didn't get to mention, because he kind of inspired me twice. Once, you know, with that first wave of being, there is other music out there besides Kiss that you will enjoy. And then also just kind of, you know, being a blonde, a natural blonde. You know, there wasn't a lot of them in rock. So I gravitated to him for that. We had similar hair.
What are you talking about? Okay.
But then I did like, you know, a little humor, a little levity. Fast forward, like honestly, Live from Daryl's House was almost, it was almost de-inspiring. It's like, I'll never be able to play that good. Look at those motherfuckers. Look,
right.
It was so, and we talk a lot about that in the interview. So if you like that stuff, we're going to get into that show quite a bit. But it was like a second wave of inspiration. Like this is what, you know, the mindset of like, you know, when you're going to sit down and play something, you know, learn it, get mm-hmm. it right. So impressive stuff. I was amazed, not after I watched it, but it's surprising to me how many hard rock guys really got into that show, because it was not a hard rock show.
Right. No, it was cool. It was cool for a like second or third act or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
For his
career, he calls it the best work of his, you know, that he's done. So,
yeah. Nice, man. I think that the fans are waiting to hear with your conversation. You want to get into it? You got anything else?
No, I think that's good enough. I once again, kind of a little outside our normal zone. We're typically hard rock, heavy metal guys, but I think people who have listened to our show a long time know that just like most people, we do have interests outside of that. So I'm glad Daryl agreed to come on the show without any reservations. He was a great guest.
Did he know the name of the show? getting into it or not?
I have no idea. Probably not, because this was a conference call. I was the next one. You know what I mean? It was like one of those things where I get dialed in. Hey, Jason, meet Daryl Hall. And then, hey, Jason. So
did you go, hey, can you, because I haven't heard it yet. Can you say a rock's not dead? Listen, Cobra's on Fire. Did you make him do it?
I did not. No,
I knew it. I knew it. I forgot to do it with my recent one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little out of practice. Yeah, I'm going to chalk it up to that. But
I'm sorry, what show am I on? I gotta go.
Yeah, you're on the Wackadoodle Noodle Show. It was a good chat. You know, I will look, he's been doing this a long time, clearly, because I think this is like one of those times where he gives you kind of quick, succinct answers, but he also makes his point. They're not like, you know, he's not brushing you off or anything like that. He just gets, he's like, right. Yeah, you know, that's about kind of how way it is. So I really enjoyed it. He's not lacking any self-confidence, and hopefully the listeners will enjoy the interview too. Well, let's get to it, man. Fucking Daryl Hall. What I want you got, it might be hard to handle. Like a flame that burns a candle. The candle feeds the flame. Yeah, yeah. What I got, full stock of thoughts and dreams that scatter. And you pull them all together. And I can't explain. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very pleased to be speaking with Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, half of the best-selling music duo in American history, and frankly, a personal rock icon of mine, Daryl Hall. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Hey, before I start hitting you with questions, I did have a short anecdote I wanted to share with you that just kind of ties me into my fandom for you. I got into music with my very first band was Kiss, and I was like 7 years old. And, you know, I've been kind of a hard rock metal guy most of my life, but the number two band, the second band that kind of became my group was Daryl Hall and John Oates. When I saw, I swear it was like, I tried to find it, Daryl, I couldn't find it, but in my head, it was like, I was like 9 years old watching like Dinah Shore or something like that. And you guys played You Make My Dreams. And then I was hooked.
Wow. You know, it might've been Dinah Shore, cause I think I was on that show.
I couldn't find it on YouTube, man.
I don't know. Who knows, man?
Yeah, no, a long time ago, right? Well, you know, and coincidentally, you guys ended up going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with Kiss in 2014.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I made my way into that morass of bullshit, I have mixed feelings about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and mixed feelings about the people that run the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but I'm okay with being in there because, you know, it's part of a pretty interesting club of people, you know, that have influenced music in the past 50 years or 60 years. And, you know, I'm glad to be one of those people.
Yeah, I'm glad you're in there too. You're not the first artist to have some, you know, qualms with how it's handled. Are you interested in getting any details? I love hearing about it.
Oh, let me think. No. They're not even worth saying. I mean, there's a, you know, a cadre of assholes that's in the midst of it all. Not everybody, by far. There's a lot of good people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that are the voters. But then there's a little cadre of idiots.
Yeah. It does seem like some acts, they just get kind of dragged out a little too long. Well, just one last thing. Do you know those guys in Kiss at all? Do you have any run-ins with them? And did you ever try to get Gene or somebody on Daryl's house?
I never tried to get Gene. I know Gene, and I know the other guys. Yeah, sure. I've known them for forever, since the old days. And, you know, they're pretty... pretty, you know, well, a couple of them anyway, not all, are pretty astute people, you know. I mean, they're intelligent people.
Not fair enough. I got a kind of a gamut of questions. I don't only have so much time with you, so I tried to, pick and choose. We'll see how it goes here. But you worked with John for a long time. Obviously, when you have a partnership like that, you're going to butt heads, have disagreements. Is there anything petty or serious or kind of funny what kind of stuff would you guys like argue about?
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
You're a very timely person. I wouldn't even know where to start. But John and I don't have a good relationship at this point.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, you did have a pretty good track record there. Now, I kind of like I mentioned, I came in with "You Make My Dreams," so that's Voices. You have quite a bit of a catalog ahead of that, but that run of Voices, Private Eyes, and H2O had to be quite an incredible ride for the for you yourself and for John, I assume.
Yeah, well, that was I would say that was as much spearheaded by my relationship with the Allen sisters as it was with anything else.
Right.
I wrote a lot of songs with Sarah Allen and Jana Allen and myself. And I mean, this was mostly, but I drove the bus. It's mostly been generated by me at that period of time. Well, actually, after about the mid 1970s, it was pretty much generated by me.
Well, it was pretty much where the hits were coming from. H2O is, I think, my first record that I got that was brand new. Like it was the first new release from Hall & Oates. It was a pretty big deal for me to get that. But over the years, I've kind of been curious. Had you had the idea to name a record H2O for a long time? Because that seems to be just sitting right there.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch the point there. What were you saying?
The album title itself, H2O. I mean, it's in hindsight, it looks like that's just something just set out there perfectly for the two of you guys for an album title. Was that something you'd actually had for a while and just kind of decided to use one day, or did it just come to you?
Oh, I see. I can't even remember. I come up with these titles on the spot. You know, I don't remember what generates them or doesn't generate them.
All right. Well, you would live from Daryl's house is something I wanted to get into. Doing a little research, though, I did find out prepping for this that you actually have a restaurant in New York there, a Daryl's House Club. When did that open? And have you done? You never filmed any of the shows there, to my knowledge.
I film all the shows there.
At the restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh wow!
It's a club. It's a music club, I started by doing it literally at my house, which is in Dutchess County, New York. But I moved it down to the club, and filmed a good part of the series down there. So it's I've been doing it both places, or not anymore. In the first place, I sold that house, and I'm just doing a new season right now. I just finished episode 3. At the club.
Can you tease any of the guests?
I don't like to talk about it until. Okay. I like surprises. I like surprises.
Good enough. I like them too. The show. One thing. It was surprising to me how many because I we talk a lot of hard rock and metal. That show actually appealed to a lot of hard rock kind of guys, and that's not necessarily the forte of the show. One thing that it did intentionally or not, but it put the focus on the performance. You know, and there's a lot being said in the last, you know, couple decades about technology kind of being utilized to cover up some talent deficiencies. Was that like a primary, like when you were putting the show together, you wanted to make sure that what you were showing, like the talent of all the performers and not like leaning on like tools and stuff?
Yes, absolutely. That's what it's all about. It's all about the musical excellence of not only the guests that are on the show, but my band, which is ridiculous. The things that they can do, and I'll include myself in it. It's pretty crazy. And I will emphasize that we don't rehearse. This stuff that what you see is us doing it for the first time, either the first or second take after we do our homework at home. Individually.
Got it.
So I don't know very many people that can do what we do.
Yeah, that definitely comes across. Now, how many of these guys, you recognize some familiar faces from episode to episode, but is it the same band every episode? As far as the house band.
It's my band.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple people have changed. I mean, poor T-Bone, he's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But he, you know, we started with him And then a guy named Paul Pesco came in for a while, like a guitar player, and now Shane Terrio is the main guitar, you know, the MD. Other than that, I'm trying to think. The couple of the percussion players have changed. It's pretty much been the same band for all those years.
The sound quality is off the charts too, especially in the ones that you record on location there. You can definitely hear like every little detail, whether it's just a couple like a little percussive pieces or something that isn't like a lead instrument or something. But how much time did it take to get that room to sound and record just perfectly mixed? And do you just leave it, or does it have to reset it each time?
Just like the band, which I say I will repeat, is one of the best bands in the world, if not the best. I have a sound man, and his name is Pete. And Pete Moshe, and he can make that sound happen anywhere. He's an incredible sound mixer, and that is one of the great things about the show, is how good it sounds and how well he records it all. And we've done it in many different environments. We've done it in people's houses. We've done it in the club. We've done it at my house. We've done it, who knows where, and outside even. And he always manages to pull it off, and it's pretty extraordinary.
It is just killer. I'm so glad to hear we're getting more episodes back. Yeah, you did one in Cabo Wabo with Sammy Hagar. That was that the furthest you traveled?
Furthest? I've done them in England. If that's for what that's worth.
Man, I'm missing some episodes there.
I've been to Hawaii. I don't know. Mexico. Sure.
What about performances? Is there any of them that were your personal favorite that you dug?
Well, I mean, there's certain shows that stand out to me. I mean, I love the show that I do with the OJs, because that's like baby food to me. You know, that's my roots, and I had a great time with those guys, and we talked about old times, and it was pretty special. The one I did with Smokey Robinson, one of the early ones, was sort of the same thing, something that that comes from my teenage years. And then let me think. I mean, the one I did with Todd in Hawaii, Todd Rundgren in Hawaii, was unbelievable. I could go down, you know, on and on. There's so many great shows. I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, I learn something and take something from every show.
I was a little shocked at how much I enjoyed the one with Daughtry. I thought there seemed to be just a real, you guys came together very well, is all I'm trying to say there.
Yeah, he's a really, I mean, so many of these people they're such nice. I don't know what it is. My choice of picking people, I always seem to pick like nice people, you know, I wind up getting along with. The asshole quotient is very, very low, you know.
Well, that's good.
And I don't even know. I can't even. I wouldn't tell you if I, you know, whatever. But Daughtry, he was a great guy and a great singer, of course.
A couple other ones I dug just to kind of hit you with them. Maybe it'll spark a memory. The Cheap Trick one was a lot of fun, and also the Joel Walsh one. Again, you know, I kind of lean more to the Rocky guys, but those were really, really cool.
Yeah. Well, Cheap Trick are old friends, you know. I mean, I talked about John Allen. Tom Peterson was John Allen's boyfriend for a while, so he used to live at my house. And working with those guys, it's like a family reunion kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I love that show.
Oh, that show. I have to mention CeeLo. That one was killer, too. I'm sorry.
That was cool. I mean, CeeLo, man, we had a good time. They're all good, man. I mean, I don't know what to say. You know, no duds.
Fair enough. Well, here, how about more specific questions? Then I never see you use a lyric sheet. You said you do your homework at home. Do you you put in the time then? Because you learn like the guest songs, like so you come in.
Basically. Oh, okay.
Or do you just hide it?
Okay, I will admit to using a teleprompter.
Okay. It's just not I've never seen it. So,
yeah. Well, you're not supposed to see it. But the truth is that I do refer to a teleprompter because I mean, how am I going to learn all these songs? You know, I mean, it's you know, lyrically and all that. But you know, I mean, so what? You know, that's not uncommon.
No, I get it. I also really enjoy the group meal that you ever do. It just the vibe of all these, you know, like you said, these are high end musicians and the experiences and the stories you guys can tell, it just leads to a really great fun conversation, I think, for the viewer.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life, the way I feel, you know, it's sort of what I was meant to do. I'm going to keep doing it. You know, like I said, we have the next season is already in the works.
Do you like to cook? It seems like you're someone who cooks. Looking at the show, anyway.
Yeah, I'm a cook.
What's your favorite thing?
I'm definitely a cook. Yes.
What do you make?
Oh, I don't know. I go through various things. You know, I some of the dishes in my club are my recipes, and. One in particular I do a lamb tagine that's on the menu, and that's my particular version of a tagine, and I don't know. I mean, I cook. I have a lot of different styles of cooking.
I find cooking can almost scratch that creative itch that songwriting does. Does it have any type of effect like that for you too, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, I relate all this. The same with house building. You know, I do that. I do renovation and restoration of antique houses. It's all the same. You know, it's coming from the same place. It's you create something out of nothing.
Right on. You put out some recordings from those sessions on your before after release, and that's kind of what you're kind of going out and touring now. And that's basically for people who are not familiar. It's a giant collection of songs from your career outside of Daryl Hall and John Oates. Was it difficult to pick which songs you wanted to grab, like from Life from Daryl's House?
I tried to pick songs that I was mostly featured because I wanted, since it was my album, I didn't want to have to share too many vocals with people. So I mostly picked songs from LFDH that I had song on my own in certain episodes. So that sort of determined some of the choices.
Is there any new music on the horizon for you? Sounds like if it is, it'd be solo.
Yeah, I'm working on new music. I'm actually working. I started an album this past year with Dave Stewart, my old friend, and we're going to try and complete it sometime soon, as soon as I get a chance, and that'll be the first to release of new music. And then I got a lot of things, a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of people I'm looking to work with and going to be working with, and in some cases I've already worked with. So excuse me. So yeah. So the answer is yes, new music on the way. Just want to get the time to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that seems to be with the changes in the music industry now, you kind of work at your own kind of pace, right? There's no deadline. You just do what you want and release
when
it's ready.
No deadlines whatsoever. My days of slavery to record labels is over.
Right on. You know, before I forget, Live from Daryl's House, and when it comes back, will it be on a network? Will it be back to the web series? Where can we find it?
It's going to be. I haven't completely nailed down with the different formats that it's going to be released or they're going to be shown on. I don't want to comment on that. I mean, it's going to be probably more than one place we'll go to watch it.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, the internet's out there, people. You can find it when it does. But
you won't have any trouble finding it.
Okay. You know, let's get into a little bit of the songwriting process for you. Nowadays, like, is when you're sitting down to write, does something come to you ahead of time, or do you just pick up an instrument? And what instrument do you lean on the most to just get the juices?
It really doesn't. There is no pattern. I might pick up a guitar and come up with something. I might pick up, you know, sit down at the keyboards and come up with something. I might have a lyric idea. I might have a phrase. I might have a drum, you know, a drum pattern or, you know, some kind of a groove and start from there. There is no formula. I work in every different direction.
Right on. And, well, I'll pat you back in the back a little bit here. You know, you've been doing this a long time, but you look great and you sound great. And you and I both know that that's not something that everybody gets to say at this stage of the game. Is there any type of regimen physically, diet wise, anything that you do to make sure that you're able to still kind of continue to do basically what you want to do?
Well, I've always been I'm not an excessive person, as far as, you know, I never really, wasted myself, and I've paced myself over the years, and I eat well. I eat a very low carb diet, you know, I exercise, and I do everything that most people do that try and keep it together, you know, and that's about it. I have good genes.
All right. When you travel for a tour like this, are you're flying in or are you bussing?
No, I fly.
Yeah, it seems like when you can, it's just nobody wants to do the bus thing anymore.
I fly private. You know, that's my that's my indulgence. Well, it's actually my necessity more than an indulgence.
Sure. You have to know about the phone line call and oats.
Welcome to Call and Oats, your emergency Hall and Oats helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2. To hear Manita, please press 3.
No. I know about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't give a shit about it.
Sure, here. I was just surprised to see that. I heard about it. I think, I don't remember if it was the 80s or 90s when I first heard about it, but I was surprised it still actually works. I called.
Hey, you never know what people are going to do. I'm sure. Call in, listen to songs. Whatever.
You've been immortalized on Family Guy. Any thoughts on that? Have you seen it?
Okay, Daryl. It's almost dry. Very nice, by the way. This one's going on the shelf right next to Dan Fogelberg.
Hey, Lois. Am I up next?
Just wait in your dressing room. I'll come back for you, Oates. I'm not coming back for Oates.
No, I don't really watch much television. Okay. I think I did Family Guy. Okay. I think I did some voiceovers on Family Guy. Yeah,
I know sometimes they get the artists. It's not always easy to tell. But anyway.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going back a little bit here. All right. Well, right now we're talking to you because you're going on a run of tours here in November. This is kind of a second leg, right, from the follow-up from the summer in support of the latest record we talked about, Before After. And Todd Rundgren's coming with you. Do you guys get up and play any songs together?
Yes, we do. That comes at the end of the show. So we do the whole thing. You know, my band backs him up. My band backs me up. My band backs us both up. The whole thing.
Right. Like, how long of a show? Is it just the two of you then? Like a 3-4 hour night? Or
I haven't timed it. I think it's an hour 45, something like that. Hour 40.
Okay.
Hour 45.
Well, yeah. The tour starts on November 19th here. It's just in a couple weeks in Syracuse, New York. Do I have it right at the On Center? I just haven't heard of that place. And then it wraps up on December 3rd in Evansville, Indiana. Daryl, I will be seeing you at the State Theater in Minneapolis on November 29th. Have you ever played there?
You know what? I don't know. I've played so many places. How could I ever remember names, man? I probably have.
Yeah.
If it's been around a long time, I've played it.
Yeah, it has been around a long time. There's a pretty good chance. I think the last time you were in town with John, you were playing at the XL in St. Paul, but that's more of an arena. This is a very nice theater.
Yeah,
I was just there to see Nick Mason. If I do get a chance, I will make a formal introduction when I'm there, but they're still doing COVID stuff, so it's probably unlikely. But anyway, I look forward to seeing the show. It'll be my first time seeing you solo. So this is kind of looking forward to it. And especially if you're so this is the Daryl's House band that's gonna be playing with you.
Yep, it's the same band.
Man, it just keeps getting better talking to you. Well, is there anything I missed, man? I mean, I could talk to you all day. I could, but you had such a long career, but.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you covered the bases.
All right. Well, anybody that's looking to get tickets or tour dates, finding this stuff out, of course, you can find it on Daryl Hall's website, darylhall.com. But that stuff is so antiquated now, Daryl. It's just type Google Daryl Hall tour and you're going to find something. So.
There you go.
All right. Well, hey, man. Truly an honor. I really appreciate your time, and best of luck on the tour. Hopefully I see you in Minneapolis.
Okay, man. Thank you very much.